Should be all right, yeah.
Thanks for giving me the opportunity to speak. I'm losing my voice a bit, but I'll try my best. I want to speak about a very interesting topic. Somebody does something for somebody else, and he doesn't specify if it's a present or if he expects payment for it. Can he claim payment afterwards? So it's a very interesting story. This is based on a true story. There's three brothers, Reuven, Shimon, and Benjamin. And the mother was no longer alive, and the father's health was deteriorating. So he couldn't live by himself anymore. So they got together and they discussed what options they have. Reuven wanted him to move into an old age home, and Shimon wanted him to move in with him. And they discussed it amongst themselves. And then Benjamin offered that he thinks the best option is for the father to move in with him, because he was more well off than his other brothers, and he would be able to renovate one of his downstairs rooms into a bedroom, and he could afford to pay for 24-hour carers to come in and help look after his father. So they all agreed together that was the best option, and that's what they did. The father moved in with Benjamin, and he had carers coming in, helping look after him. And that he lived there for a few years. Eventually his health deteriorated to the point he had to move into a home. And Benjamin then put his father's things into storage, and he started using the bedroom as a spare guest room. A couple years after that, the father was lifted up. And after the shiva, it came time to split the inheritance. He left a sizable inheritance. It was he had a business, different properties, and a lot of money. But unfortunately, he didn't leave a will, which is always a bad idea, not to leave a will, and not to say how he wants the inheritance to be split up. And the three brothers they couldn't agree. They argued about how to split it, and they got very, very heated. And one of the claims, Benjamin, the son who the father moved in with, he had a claim. He wanted compensation for all of the costs that he had when the father was living with him, for the carers and renovating the room. He wanted to take that from the Yerusha and to be reimbursed for all of his costs. So the question is, does he have a valid claim? Is he able to now retroactively claim that, you know, he incurred costs in having the father live with him? And does he deserve to be paid back? Or do we assume no, that he gave it as a present? It can't be paid back.
Selling business, give it that way.
Oh, right. So that's the first thing that obviously comes to mind. What about Kibud Av V'Eim? Somebody's gone into Kibud Av V'Eim. So the truth is that Kibud Av V'Eim, halacha is Mishal Av, that a son or a child doesn't have to spend money on the mitzvah of Kibud Av V'Eim. So for example, if a parent asks a child, please go buy me a drink. So the child could turn to their parent and say, okay, so give me the money for the drink. I'm not mechuyev to spend money on the mitzvah of Kibud Av V'Eim. Obviously, it's a very good thing to do. But he's not obligated, he's not mechuyev to spend his own money. So Binyamin was not mechuyev, he wasn't chayev, as far as Kibud Av V'Eim is concerned, to spend any money. So he doesn't have a claim with regards to that. And why can't we just ask him? Why can't we just ask Binyamin, well, what was your intention? You know, did you intend it at the time to be a present or not? So you obviously can't ask afterwards, what was your intention beforehand? First of all, in this story, so Binyamin's business had taken a turn for the worse. And it could be at the time he intended it to be a present. And only now he's claiming the money back. Maybe because now he sees an opportunity to make some money. So you can't trust the person himself, because it's kavanah. So that's why we have Baruch Hashem, we have halacha, tells us exactly what to do in every situation, how to view such cases. So, in fact, regarding Kibud Av V'Eim, a person doesn't have to spend, to get back to that, a person doesn't have to spend money on the mitzvah of Kibud Av V'Eim. Somebody went to the site where Gorn, Rabbi Yaakov Esau Kanievsky, the father of Chaim Kanievsky, and he said to him, he said, my father lives in a different city, and he wants me to come and visit him. But the bus ticket costs money, and the mitzvah of Kibbutz Avraham, I don't need to spend money on the mitzvah of Kibbutz Avraham, so I don't need to go and visit my father in the other city. So the stipend said to him, he said, okay, fine. So walk there. Three. So let's explain a bit of the sugya, and then we'll come back to try and answer this question whether Binyamin has a valid claim. So first of all, there's a Gemara in Bamot here, Kuf Aleph, that says Yovid the Steich Aveiwa Menata Shloim Bushus Chayv L'Shayim. A person goes to somebody else's field, and he ploughs for him, and he plants, does all the hard backbreaking work for him. Now the owner of the field can't then say to him, thank you very much, I appreciate it, goodbye. No, he has to pay for anything he benefited from what this person did. Even though he didn't ask him to do this work, he didn't ask him to plant the field, but the halacha, the Gemara says, he has to pay for it, he benefited from somebody else's work, he has to pay. So the Rishonim, the Ran, and the Rashba, the 600-700 years ago in Spain, Gedolei Rishonim, they say, we see from this Gemara that when a person does a work for somebody else or gives something to somebody else, that it's not assumed to be a present. He expects to be paid for what he's done. That's what we see from this Gemara. The person has to pay the person that did work in his field. And this is a very wide-ranging halacha. This is brought down in the Ramban Choshen Mishpat. Reish Samech Dalet. That when a person does something for someone else and he doesn't they make any agreement beforehand, pay me, not pay me, the Ramah paskens that felt like the Ran and the Rashba, that he can then ask for payment.
Can that son claim work that he did to his father, not physical, looking after his father, 25 weeks for looking after
but looking just after. The work?
Just for looking after his father, 25 weeks. Not physical, mental.
So that might be different. That might be different. We'll see.
The farmer's not alive anymore, so it's a different situation. There, the field person is the person who did the work to the owner of the field.
Right.
Here, the owner of the recipient, rather, was the father. The father's not here anymore, so it's not.
True, he's not here anymore, but if there was a bill, so to speak, while he was alive, he could then claim that.
Well, maybe when the father was alive, but once the father is not here anymore, then he's. That there's no, he can't pay it. He's taken out of the yerusha, which is a different.
Yeah, but any money that's owed when a person's alive can be claimed from the inheritance. That's generally the halacha. Money that's owed whilst the person's alive can be claimed from the inheritance.
Although he hasn't claimed it.
Yeah. So we'll get back to the exact details. I want to just explain the sugya, then we'll get back to this this story exactly. So that's passing the halacha. It's not assumed to be a present. So. There's a Gemara in Ksubas, which seemingly doesn't fit in with this, because the Gemara in Ksubas, Kubzayin, says that if a person goes to Mishalach the Medina Sayyam, Ba'amalech the Pirates and Sishtoi. That's it, it's a mission in Ksubas. So, a bit of background. Every married person has an obligation, a chiyuv, to support his wife. So, if somebody wants to ask the Barik the Miller, so then, how can anyone go to Kroyal? The person has an obligation to support his wife. How can someone go to Kroyal? So, I mean, the truth is, Kroyal do pay, and that's why they have to fundraise. But besides for that, Rabbi Gamaliel answered, he said, well, it's true a husband has an obligation to support his wife, but if his wife is moichel, and she's willing, she wants her husband to be learning Torah, and she's willing to live on a lower level, and she's going to have to work because of that. Obviously, then the Ashreha that she wants that support. That's her choice. But in a normal situation, a husband has an obligation to support his wife. So what happens if the husband goes out of town? He's away on business. So who's going to provide food for his wife? So along comes a tzaddik, and he gives her food. Now when the husband comes back. Can this person go to the husband and say, look, you had an obligation to feed your wife, and I did it for you, now pay me. I didn't intend it to be a present, I want you to pay me back. Reimburse me. Right, so the Mishnah brings two opinions. Chanan says, Ibn Ma'isov, he's lost his money. The B'nai Koyin and Megidolim say, that no, he can't claim the payment. And Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai says, Yofa Amachanan, I agree with Chanan. And here's what he's like, Karen Edsby, that it's like he's put his bag of money, tied it to the horns of a deer. That's it, now we're going to see the money again, it's going to run away. He's lost the money. And this is also Paskin in the Shofar, in Ebn Ezer. So how does that fit together? If we assume that he didn't want to pay, that he wanted payment for it, then why has he lost his money? So the Mefarshim explain that it's indirect. Well, he didn't directly benefit this husband. He didn't give anything to the husband. The husband had an obligation to give food to his wife, and he gave food to his wife. He didn't directly benefit the husband. It's called Mavriach Ari, scaring away a lion.
No, the husband saved money.
Like, even though he saved money.
So why is it not direct?
Even though it's indirect. It's called Mavriach Ari, which means if there's a lion coming to somebody's property, it's going to cause damage. And you scare away that lion. I don't know why they chose the lion, that's what Chazal say. And you scare away that lion. So obviously, I saved them a loss. But that's an indirect benefit. I stopped the loss from happening. The husband would have had to spend money, and I stopped him having to spend the money. Also, another case they say is halvah. If someone owes money, if you pay off someone's debts, can you then claim the money back from him? That's also called my riachri. It's also indirect. You're just paying off someone else's loans. You're not giving anything directly to the borrower.
Isn't that with animals? If you feed some of those animals, you give them. You have to give them what you would have given them anyway.
Yeah. So an animal is his belongs to him. So that's more of a direct.
Direct.
Yeah. It's more of a direct.
Wife's not.
Person doesn't own his wife. So. Okay, so then there's a Truma Sedeshin. So Rabbi Swal Israelin lived in Vienna 600 years ago. He wrote a sefer called Truma Sedeshin. And a lot of Ashkenazi Mephagim are based on what he wrote. And he says a very, very interesting case that there was a couple got married, and her father agreed to support them for 2 years. And how was he going to support them? That they could eat their meals at his table for 2 years. That's how he's going to support them. They would come to the meals for 2 years. So the 2 years came to an end, and they carried on eating at her father's house for another 2 or 3 years. Eventually, her father said to his son-in-law, "Okay, you've eaten 2 or 3 years extra. Now pay me for the cost of all the food." It's not something I recommend if someone wants a good relationship with the son-in-law. But that's, yeah, he wanted payment. So the Truma Sedeshin says, at first glance, when you hear such a story, you think, obviously it's potter, why should the son have to pay? Obviously. But he says, after looking into it a bit, actually the son-in-law's tired. The son-in-law has to pay. He says, we don't make things up from our stomachs. He's got a raya from Rabbeinu Ephraim, another Rishon. Rabbeinu Ephraim says, Acho imi chayav l'shalim. If you invite somebody to come and eat with you, you can send him the bill. You can say, here's the bill. Yeah, it sounds not how we usually view things.
Stone.
Right, so 1 second, so we'll get there. So, a good ride for this is a medrash about Avraham Avinu. That Avraham Avinu lived out in the desert, and whenever he saw a traveller, he would invite them in. That's what Avraham Avinu is, that's what he did. He invited in a traveller, gave him a meal. We saw what we did with the three Malachim, tongue, we gave him a very nice meal. And afterwards he would say to them, okay, right, you've had a nice meal, now bench. Thank Hashem for the meal. So if the person would say, no, I don't want to. So then Avraham Avinu would say, fine, so pay me. If you won't bench, pay me. And that's this halacha. You invite somebody for a meal, you don't make any agreement beforehand, am I charging you or not? You can say, here's the bill. So it says the Truma Sedeshin. So that would be the same thing with this chosam. It's exactly the same thing. The chosam was invited. The son-in-law was invited to eat with his father-in-law, and now he's got the bill. Now, but he adds an extra level of dimension. This is getting into the middle stone that you're talking about. He adds another level of understanding because, like, very nice that the father-in-law intended that it's not a present and he wanted a charger. Very nice. But the son-in-law has to have done something that makes him have to pay. Like, for example, you can't go up to somebody and say, go and look at my car. He looks at your car and you say, okay, I intended to charge you for that, and I have to pay. It has to be a chargeable, so that he's done something that you can charge. So the Torah Sanhedrin says, it's called Zenen Ebezeh Chasa. It's a very wide-ranging rule, Zenen Ebezeh Chasa. If one person gets Hanok, it gets a benefit, and because of that, the other person loses out, so then you have to pay him for it. So a standard case of that is, if you've got a house that you normally rent out, and a squatter moves in for 2 weeks, so the squatter has to pay. Why is that? Because the squatter benefited. He made money, he saved money, by not having to rent somewhere else for 2 weeks. And the owner of the house lost out because he couldn't rent out the house for those 2 weeks that the squatter was there. So the squatter has to pay. So that's why it's not a problem with midstone, because if the person loses out, then it's not midstone. Midstone is only if the person doesn't lose out. So that's how the Shulchan Aruch Mishnah explains. That's why that's why the son-in-law has to pay for his meal, because he benefited from the meal, because he ate it. And his father-in-law lost out because he's not got the food anymore. The food's gone. However, he won't have to pay for his wife's food. In this story, the father-in-law was charging the son-in-law also for his own daughter's food. But for that, he won't have to pay like we said earlier, because that's Mavriyah Hari. That was an indirect benefit. That the father-in-law gave food to his daughter is an indirect benefit to the son-in-law. So the son-in-law won't have to pay for his wife's food, only his own food. And he says, even if there's other sons-in-law, and they've also been eating there more than the agreed time, and the father-in-law hasn't charged them, doesn't matter, the father-in-law can say, no, I want to charge you, don't want to charge them, everyone's different. But there are a couple of exceptions to this, important exceptions. If the father-in-law is quite well-to-do, and he can come to be afford to feed his daughter-in-law, his daughter and son-in-law, and also it's the accepted norm in that society where they live at the time that a father-in-law does support for longer than agreed on, and also they just had a machlokas and they've just fallen out, then it's obvious he's just trying his luck to get money. So in that situation, the Shulchan Aruch Mishnah says, obviously, it's quite clear that at the time it's supposed to be a present, he did not want payment, and he just changed his mind now. So let's say, for example, this halacha could be applicable in many cases. If you invite somebody for a Shabbos meal, can you send them the bill after Shabbos? So there's definitely a strong argument to say that the social norms nowadays is not to charge for such a thing. Definitely a strong argument to say that it would be different. Similar to the transgression. It would depend on the circumstances.
I'll just explain the Ron Wiener's situation. He was a wealthy man. He said, if you don't thank the Bosham, I'll charge you. How do you explain that?
So there you've only got, a meal in the desert, you could cost a lot of money.
Well, you invited him in.
Yes, but inviting in, the Trump session says, inviting in doesn't show anything. Inviting in doesn't show anything. And this is Paskin. This halacha is Paskin in the Ramah, Fokshim, Mishma, Rishma, and Bav. The Paskin is like the Trump session. Unless the recipient's poor. If the recipient's poor, then the Romani Rodea says that it's assumed to be stopping. You can't charge for that. You can't ask for payment. So another exception is the Shach. The Shach was with Shabbosai Cohen, lived 400 years ago during Tachatat, and he actually married the granddaughter of the Romani. He died at 41 and he wrote his sefer on Shulchan Aruch called Shach, Sifshei Cohen. He wrote it at the age of 24, which is incredibly impressive. And he says, there's an exception, points out, that what's the whole reason why a person has to pay for his meal? Because he benefited. So if this person had a place that he could have eaten for free, and now he's eating here, and this person wants to charge him, so that's not really called a benefit, that's not called a hanok. He could have got a free meal, and now he's coming here. That's not called a hanok. So you can't charge him in such a situation. That's not being an exception. It is a machlokus. The Bach, the Rabbi Yisrael Sirkish, lived a generation after the Ramah, Rabbi Krakow, wrote the Bias Chodosh, and the Bach says that not everyone agrees with this Truma Sedeshah. There are people that disagree, so the Bach paskins that you actually can't charge somebody, it'll be Hamoitz Mechav, because it's a machlokus, it's not agreed on, so it'll be Hamoitz Mechav El Harai, which means you've got a machlokus on Klei Halacha, so if you're trying to get payment out of somebody, you have to prove that you wanted that payment originally, that you didn't mean it to be a present, so which essentially means that you don't have to pay.
If you have a visitor comes to you, you can say to him,
so if there's a sign on the door that says Achnas Zorku, then that's very clear it's a present. Or any Chabad house. Can they charge for the meals? So again, it would depend. I mean, according to the Bach, then you don't have to pay anyway. But according to most other opinions, so it would depend on the circumstances, how clear it is that it's meant to be a non-chargeable or not. So there's a case that came to Shlomo Kluger. Shlomo Kluger lived 180 years ago. He wrote about 160 svarim, which is amazing. A lot of them haven't been published yet, still being published yet. And so a case came to him where there was a yosem. His father had died. And for some reason, he wasn't living with his mother. He was living with, there was another man looking after him. And this man gave him everything he needed, provided for him, gave him food. And this man was also in charge of the Yosem's finances. It's called an apotropos. This person's called an apotropos. The Yosem, obviously we know when a man dies, his wife doesn't inherit him. He's not Yerush. His wife is not Yerush. His son is Yerush. So this Yosem, this orphan, owned money, and the apotropos was in charge of his finances. So one day he went to his mother, and he said, I don't want to eat with the apotropos anymore. So his mother took him in, fed him a meal, a nice home-cooked meal, and then she went to the apotropos and said, I want payment for the food that I gave to my own son. Can't judge her, maybe she was extremely poor, maybe that's why he wasn't living with her, maybe she couldn't afford it, and she wanted payment. So what's the halacha? So the question came to Shlomo Kluger, and he passed him, well, we've seen the shach that we just mentioned. That this orphan had an option to eat somewhere for free. He could have eaten at the apotropos' house for free. So it's not called a benefit. He didn't really get any hana or any benefit from eating with his mother. So she can't charge him. And even though the coffin is saying that he doesn't like the food of the apotropos, and he prefers her food, but that's not a decision that she can make. She's not in charge of the coffin's finances, the apotropos'. So they would have to discuss it together. Does the cotton really benefit from having nicer tasting food if he's going to lose money from it? He's going to lose money for that. That's something that has to be discussed. You can't ask the child himself. He's only a child. So that's an application, an interesting application of this child. The apotropos was feeding him for free. Not for his steak. Yeah, that's what seems in that case. I'm not sure why. Yeah. There's one more halacha, and hopefully we'll get back to the original question. One more halacha. The Ramah in Yerudea, Rishon Gimel, he says that, yes, true, we pass an extra concession, you give someone food, you can give them a bill and ask for payment. But there's one exception, an orphan, a yosem. If you give food to an orphan, then even if this orphan has money, then it's assumed to be a present. So why is that? Why should an orphan be different? If he's got money, I can understand, if he doesn't have money, so you assume it's a mitzvah socket. But if he's got money, then why is it assumed to be a present and you can't pay him payment? So it could be that the pshat is because it's a mitzvah. That could be. But Rav Yaakov Chaim Bachrach, he was born in Germany, same time as Meshach. He wrote a sefer called Chavos Yar. And he says as follows. He had a case, the question came to him that an almana, a widow, moved in with her son. And she lived with him for a few years and she ate his food. And then the son, after a couple of years, the son said to his mother, I want payment for all the food that I've given you over the past few years. These things happen. He wanted payment. So the Chavos Yar was asked the pastor on this. So he said it depends. If she had no money, we said already, she had no money, it's assumed to be stocker. So even if she wins the lottery later, you can't claim payment. If she had money, so he says, what's the shat in this halacha of a yosem? Why is a yosem different? So he says, the reason is because when the yosem grows up, he's going to need his own funds to look after himself. He doesn't have a father to help him out. And he's going to need his own funds. So when a person gives something to be awesome, it's assumed he doesn't want to be paid for that because he wants to leave that the awesome's money with the awesome to be able to use it later on in life. That's the assumption. So it's the same thing with this almana. What was the original plan? How long was she planning on moving in with her son? If she was moving in only for a few years, then it's like the awesome. The son isn't going to does not want to use up his mother's money. If she's going to move out later, she's going to have to rent her own place, buy her own food. She's going to need that money later, so he doesn't intend to charge her. But if the plan was that she was going to move in with him until 120, then he can charge her, just like Truman Sadeshan. And that brings us back to answering the original question. He had Binyamin, and he was now claiming from his father's inheritance. So it would be the same thing. What was the original plan? Was he planning on living with him, loyal by 120? So then Binyamin can claim reimbursement for all the costs, like anybody else. But if the plan was that his father would only move in with him for a few years, and then afterwards move to an old age home, then we assume he doesn't want payment from his father's money, because his father's going to need the money to pay for the old age home. Right? He's going to need his money later on when he moves out. So that would probably be the lock in the case of the case that we started with.
The son of the rich, son of Shasmais.
Right, but that's not enough. That's not enough on its own.
You can't charge your father. He was a rich man when he started off, and father couldn't live with him.
That's not enough. Truman Sadeshan says only he needed a few signs to show that he was a present. If he was a rich person, and also it was the general minag in that place to do that. To feed for free. So I don't know if it would be enough, just the fact that he's rich.
The it has
to be
never...
very, very clear that he wants it to be a present. Umdun Duruchach is the Russian news.
If at the time he put his father in, didn't know, think long term, sure.
Yeah, no.
The moment he's here.
Yeah, that's a good question. If he didn't know at the time, you'd have to try and work out what were they thinking.
Did the Truman Sadeshan not say that if you can't do this, if they fall out, the mathematics?
Yeah, if they fall out.
So that's what seems to be happening here. There's a whole fallout over Yerusha. He says, right, okay, I'm going to slap your bill for my father.
I don't know if there's a fallout because of the. I don't know if he was claiming that because of the Yerusha.
We just put it in, wasn't
it? Yeah,
it was. It's
on his side as well, isn't it? That's what he wants. So at the end of the story, very, very interesting end to the story.
Yeah.
So these brothers, they managed to eventually work out how to split the Yerusha.
What was the end result?
So they managed to work it out, but it was such an argument that they completely fell out and they weren't speaking to us, which unfortunately happens very often with these situations.
Yeah.
So they... One day, Reuven got a message from the storage facility that was holding his father's belongings, and he said, your yearly fee is due. So he decided he's going to go see what's there. He went there and he was going through his father's things, and he found a package wrapped up. He opened it up, and it was his father's brass menorah. And all of a sudden, he was flooded with memories from when he was younger, because this menorah had a lot of sentimental value. It used to belong to his father's grandfather, who lived in Russia. And when communism started, so his grandfather fled Russia. And he was a very wealthy man, but he didn't take any of his money with him. All he took with him was some svarim, tefillin, and this menorah. He left everything else behind, he fled to Germany. And then later on, he went to camps, and he managed to smuggle this menorah in with him. He lit it there, and every year when Reuben's father lit this menorah, he used to say over the story of the menorah, and he used to say that the message that this menorah gave him was that the most important thing in life is Yiddishkeit and Ruchnius. The fact that his grandfather left all the money and only took the menorah and tefillin and svarim gave him this message that Ruchnius is the most important thing in life. So Reuben standing there in the storage vicinity is thinking, what are we doing? We're falling out over money, this is ridiculous. He took a picture of it, sent it to his brothers, he told them where he is, and they all came and they made peace.
Oh. Yeah. We like a happy ending.
Yeah.